Lenin took his time when deciding whether to be a political activist and whether to be a Marxist. His older brother, Alexander Ilyich Ulyanov, was politically active, although secretly from his family. Alexander, also called Sasha, joined a group called the Narodniks, who planned terrorist actions. And Sasha was caught and hanged for plotting the assassination of the Tsar. Lenin was only 17 at the time, and his brother's execution had a lasting impact on him. But it did not lead to an immediate decision to engage in politics. In fact, it took 6 years after this event before he became politically active. The reason most socialists look to the Bolsheviks, and Lenin in particular, is because they are the revolutionaries who successfully led the revolution that first brought the working class to power. And without the Bolshevik party shaping this struggle, the revolution would not have accomplished as much as it did. They achieved so much that we today can only dream about. For example, sex discrimination in employment was outlawed, and the 8-hour working day was enforced, something many Australian workers would love to see. I can think of my teacher colleagues fantasising about it. State-run nurseries and childcare were free. Think about that. No privatised childcare, and all the horrors we have heard about those in recent times. Health services were free. There were community kitchens, public laundries, which freed women from housework. It meant that they could participate more fully in society and in politics, for instance. They made an effort to pay women for housework. Perhaps that might lead to more men doing housework. Private banks and heavy industries were nationalised. A decree on land was enacted just days after the Bolshevik takeover. It effectively nullified previous land ownership laws, declaring that all land would belong to the people and be distributed among those who actually farmed it. They took away ownership of big homes and estates, especially those belonging to the nobility, aristocrats, wealthy landlords, or the upper classes. They reassigned these homes to people depending on how poor or needy they were. Those with less or worse living conditions were given priority. Imagine doing something like this today. We do have a housing crisis. These are just some of the exciting measures that they introduced. For all sorts of reasons, which are the basis for another talk, not this one, there was a counter-revolution which overturned these trailblazing steps and ultimately led to the reintroduction of an authoritarian capitalist state. However, the initial success of the Bolsheviks and Lenin's role are important to scrutinise and learn from. Leninism is an extension of the Marxist method. Marxism is a distinctive tool and methodology. It is a tool that should not be applied rigidly or religiously. This is clear from the fact that the way the Bolsheviks applied it to the Russian context was very different to the way it would have been applied in industrial Europe. Lenin and the Bolsheviks applied Marxism to the Russian context after an earnest... Sorry, a bit hard to change pages with one hand. To the Russian context after an earnest study of Russia. What made it different? What tactics would be useful? And which ones would not be useful? Nathan Moore, in his article in Link's International Journal of Socialist Renewal, summarises Marxism as a dialectical unity of three elements. Firstly, revolutionary theory. Secondly, organisation. And finally, strategy and tactics. Lenin advocated for a party that should be anchored in theory. In his pamphlet, What is to be Done, he wrote, and I quote, without revolutionary theory, there can be no revolutionary movement. He emphasised the need for a clear scientific understanding of capitalism, class struggle and historical development. He believed that a coherent ideology, that is Marxism, was required to avoid being influenced or led astray by reformism or opportunism. Reformist or opportunist elements merely seek to patch up capitalism, not to overturn it and create a new society. The Marxist methodology is one that views history as being shaped by economic development and class struggle. It viewed capitalism as becoming increasingly dominant at that time, but also initially as highly productive and creative, but also as completely expansive and exploitative, and as a violently destructive global system. We are witnessing that as it destroys our environment and kills off huge numbers of species without a second thought. We also see that in the barbarism inflicted on Gaza. Lenin began his political life with a dedicated study of Marxist theory. He also closely studied economic life in the Russian countryside. The combination of Marxist theory and his study of the Russian countryside helped him to understand the kind of capitalism that existed in Russia. In Russia, capitalism was proletarianizing more and more people in society and throughout the world, creating an ever-growing working class of people dependent on the sale of their labor power. This growing working class would potentially have the need, the will, the consciousness, and the power necessary for effectively challenging capitalism and replacing it with a truly democratic and life-affirming system. Revolutionary potential doesn't automatically lead to a revolutionary outcome. Even if conditions are ripe, the working class, if still fragmented and only partly aware of its power, needs a conscious, organised revolutionary party to guide it, unify its efforts and turn opportunity into actual transformation. So the party's role is to elevate political consciousness of the broader class. The revolutionary party isn't created to mirror the class as it is, but to lead it forward to the class that can give birth to a new, humane and just society. When we talk about organisation, we mean building a party. Lenin believed that the Socialist Party had to be a tribune of the people, or if you like, a champion of people's rights. For Lenin, the fight against oppression was more than a moral issue. It was also about building solidarity against the ruling class and their attempts to divide and weaken the working class. Sorry, just turning the page here. This means that revolutionaries have a duty not just to fight over workplace or trade union issues, but to be at the forefront of fighting all injustice and oppression, and regardless of which class is affected. The Bolsheviks saw this as the way to build class confidence and consciousness. By linking the struggles to broader struggles and identifying the cause as the capitalist system. Before the Russian Revolution, for example, Lenin argued for the defence of religious and national minorities and students facing police repression and advocated for women's liberation. Lenin and the Bolsheviks argued against those who wanted to reduce the socialist struggle to economic oppression and treat these other concerns as peripheral. Lenin also stressed that the party must not be isolated from the working class. It must build deep ties to them, learning from them, educating them, and organising alongside them, agitating around the real conditions that were important to them. And then a party could be capable of raising their level of political understanding. So they disseminated their ideas among workers in the factories through writing, leafleting, and study circles. And Lenin and the Bolsheviks knew that they also had to strengthen the alliance between workers and peasants in the anti-Tsarist struggle. They faced significant challenges organising amongst the peasants, who made up the vast majority of Russia's population in the early 20th century. Their support was crucial for the Bolsheviks to consolidate power after the October Revolution of 1917. Lenin acknowledged the peasants' revolutionary potential only when allied with the proletariat. He argued for a worker-peasant alliance, but always with proletarian leadership. To create such an alliance, they echoed the peasants' long-standing demands, aligning Bolshevik policies with peasant desires. Some Bolshevik propaganda reached the countryside via railway workers and agitators travelling between towns and villages. Some illegal pamphlets and newspapers occasionally circulated in rural areas. This had limited impact, especially given how low literacy rates were and police repression. Bolsheviks' agitators increasingly targeted soldiers, many of whom were peasants, with anti-war propaganda. As desertions rose in 1917, returning peasant soldiers helped spread revolutionary ideas back to villages. This opened a new challenge for Bolshevik influence. The example of the peasants in Russia demonstrates another reason why a party of conscious revolutionaries is needed. The workers in Russian cities were more progressive than the peasants. But the working class also does not have uniform levels of culture and consciousness. If the working class were homogenous ideologically, there might be no need for leadership. Sadly, racism, sexism, heterosexism, individualism, internalised ruling class values and other divisions exist in groups of workers. We should also understand this unevenness is not fixed. Sections of the class that are more backward can move ahead quickly, and those formerly in advance fall behind. A class doesn't automatically become revolutionary just because it is exploited. It must become conscious of its collective interests and organise accordingly. Because the working class is not fully united or conscious, it cannot spontaneously seize the opportunity on its own. The objective possibility of revolution will not wait until everybody understands why divisions only serve the capitalists, and that united as a class, we can create the best and possibly the only viable future for the majority and for this planet. Lenin was also committed to a party that practiced model democracy. It had to encourage vigorous and unreserved debate. And once the decision was made, the party acted as one, coordinated, disciplined, and effective. This prevents divisions and ensures the party can act decisively in critical moments and also test out the correctness of any decisions. Lenin also believed that discussion about strategy and tactics should be conducted among the broad layers of the working class, not simply among small groups of party members or intellectuals. This, of course, is a way to empower the working class. Lenin believed in utilising various tactics to advance the struggle. Tactics such as participating in elections and alliances, when useful, as long as they never compromised core revolutionary goals. He advocated participating in parliamentary politics at times, not to reform the system, but to expose it and to reach the masses. He also emphasised the need to adapt to changing political conditions. Revolutionaries must know when to retreat, regroup, or strike. A revolutionary party must be strategic, not dogmatic, flexible in how it fights, but never in what it fights for. Lenin argued that spontaneous worker struggles are not enough, that without intervention by a revolutionary party, such struggles will remain economist, focused on wages, hours, etc., rather than political, challenging the system as a whole. How can revolutionaries extend that understanding? He argued that struggle educates, because struggling together as a group, not as individuals, exposes the scope and consequence of the class's power. The moment of revolution is rare and unpredictable, and the party must be ready and prepared when it comes. Lenin's Bolsheviks had years of organising, publishing, debating, and struggling before 1917. By 1912, the Bolsheviks had a party with the largest numbers of workers in Russia. When the moment came, they were ready to act, while others floundered. So to conclude, Marxism and Leninism are not dogmas, not a ready-made, unchangeable gospel, but a guide to action that requires a rigorous understanding of the world at a specific historical moment. Finally, when we consider the lessons that we can learn from the life and work of Lenin, in particular for party building, there is one lesson I think that is important. Paul LeBlanc called it the revolutionary collective, meaning the success of the Bolsheviks and for us depends not on one person, but on a collective of revolutionaries. Lenin would have stressed that as well.